friend Ian.
Hi, everybody. My name's Ian.
Hi. Thank you for joining today.
Thank you for having me. This is really, really cool. I've listened to this podcast for a long time, actually, so I'm excited to join.
Yay, that makes me so happy. Mm-hmm. So you were living in Toyama at the same time as me. We had some overlap. But how long were you there in total?
So I lived in Toyama for three years, actually, 2018 to 2021. And I taught elementary school in the Marikawa city.
Oh, okay. You were teaching elementary school.
Yeah. Elementary school was really fun. I liked playing with kids and just doing lots of games and just being very silly was fun for me. I also think elementary school teaching is very challenging. Because the level is very, very basic. Yeah. So you have to speak very easily and explain things very well or kids won't understand.
Did you have to sing as well? My image is that the elementary school teachers have to like sing with their students.
That's a really good question. The teacher who worked in the Marikawa Elementary School before me, she really liked singing, so she often sang. And then when I came, I think other teachers wanted to sing also, but maybe they were nervous to ask me. So usually we didn't sing, but one teacher wanted to sing strange songs. And maybe they were too difficult. But we had fun, and it
was great. Well, where are you from originally? You're from the U.S., right?
I am, yes. So I'm from America. I'm from New Hampshire, which is a very small state in the northeastern U.S., in between Boston and Canada. Mm. So I'm here in New Hampshire right now. It's very cold. There's lots of snow.
Even now?
It snowed. Yes. In March, actually. Last night, it snowed maybe 8 or 10 centimeters. Wow. So just a little bit, but yeah, we have lots of snow.
That's wild. In Nashville, Tennessee, where I'm living now, we just had our first beautiful day of the year. Yeah, nice. So we had really nice weather. And for the next few days, we're going to have warm, sunny weather. So I'm really happy. Yeah, very different.
I wish I was in Nashville.
But I love the culture in the Northeast.
Yeah. There are a lot of things to see in the Northeast. There's a lot of old history, old buildings. New Hampshire was famous for old factories. Mm. So there's a lot of old factory buildings you can see. Yeah. And then interesting small towns. So I always recommend New Hampshire for people who want to travel to the U.S.
Yeah, I want to go. I've been to Massachusetts, to Boston many times, but I never made my way to New Hampshire.
It's okay. Many people never go north of Boston. So it's okay. It's hard because New Hampshire doesn't have a lot of trains or buses. It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to get here. You can take a bus to the cities, but really that's all. You really need a car here. It's kind of like Toyama, but I think Toyama has better trains than New Hampshire.
I didn't have a car in Toyama.
Me neither, actually. I was kind of afraid to drive in Japan, actually.
Yeah, me too.
I was afraid to drive on the left side of the road.
Me too. Well, you recently left Japan.
I did, yes. So I worked in Toyama for 3 years on the JET program. And then after that, I got a job teaching university in Yokohama. Mm. So I taught for one semester at Kanagawa University. And that was really nice. I was interested in teaching university. I did it before a little bit in the US, but I wanted to try teaching in Japan. And it was a nice experience. The students worked really hard. It was a beautiful campus. Yeah. And I met a lot of interesting people there.
That sounds so nice. And that area is really nice, too.
It is. I really like Yokohama. Chinatown is really nice. The views are beautiful. It's not quite as busy as Tokyo.
But you can still, there's still a lot to do. You can get to a lot of different areas easily. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what are you drinking today?
So I am drinking this delicious Allagash White, which is a white beer from Maine, which is a state in the Northeast next to New Hampshire. So it's one of my favorite beers. It's impossible to drink in Japan. So I've been drinking it a little bit since I came back to New Hampshire.
That's nice. Maine is another state that I really want to visit. I heard that it's beautiful.
Maine is very nice. Maine is famous for its beautiful ocean and for lobsters.
Yeah, lobster.
Actually.
Yeah.
So, and lobsters are pretty cheap. Oh, wow. Maine too. So I definitely, if you go to Maine, there's lots of seafood restaurants and lots of places that have lobsters.
I'll have to go eat lobster and drink that beer that you have.
How about you? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Koji Gold.
Ooh.
This is a Japanese-style lager, but it's made in a local sake brewery in Nashville.
Oh, wow.
So we have a local sake brewery in Nashville, and they also make some beers. And so this is the beer that they make.
Nice. I didn't know there were Japanese-style beer makers in America. I think that's really cool, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, but it's a white man that owns it. So I don't know how authentic it is, but... it's still good. So what would you like to cheers to today?
So I would like to cheers to new friendships and podcast
To new friendships and podcast fun.
New friendships and podcast fun. Kanpai! Cheers!
It's good.
Yes. Yes, it's very nice to talk to you, actually, because we didn't have much chance to talk when we were in Toyama.
Yeah, I think because we were in different cities and we were teaching different school levels because I was in high school. So we were like at different meetings and different events.
Yes,
so we
yes.
didn't have many chances to see each other. But I lived very close to Namerikawa. I was in Higashi Toyama, so it was just like one stop away on the train. Anyways.
Nice. I actually I rode past Higashi Toyama so many times, but never once did I get off the train at Higashi Toyama. Never. Not once. Never.
I will say there's not a lot around that station. Mm. Not too much there. Yeah.
Looked like there was a nice park, maybe, or a nice small park.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
So, you know, you talked a little bit about how you were teaching in a university for one semester. So that reminds me of today's topic, which is university life.
Yay!
I'm so excited.
Me too. I think this will be a really fun topic.
Me too. I think that sometimes university or university life, that topic comes up on this podcast, but we haven't had the chance to have a full episode about it. So I'm really excited to talk about it with you. So first, I wanted to ask you, what was your university like that you went to?
So my university experience, actually, I went to a not a university, but a very small college. So this is confusing, actually, but in most British countries, people say university after high school. But in America, most people say college after high school. Except if the college is very, very big, then we usually say university. But for something small, a small place, we usually say college.
That's interesting because my university was very small, but it's called Lee University. I don't know why.
Oh, wow.
Maybe
wow, wow.
My school is the exception to the rule. So maybe, yeah.
That's interesting,
yeah,
actually.
Maybe in general, that's true. But for some reason, my school is breaking that general thing. Mm. Yeah. Anyways, continue. Yeah, about your college.
So anyway, yeah. So I went to a very, very small college called Bennington College.
Bennington?
It's in Vermont. Bennington, yes. It's very small. It's in the northeastern U.S. In Vermont, which is also next to New Hampshire. And it was very small. There was only 600 people
there,
actually.
Oh, my gosh. That's so small.
Yeah, yeah. When I was looking at colleges, so first, I grew up in a very small town. My town only has 3,000 people in it. And my high school was small and everyone knew each other. And a lot of my friends, they didn't like living in small town. They wanted to go to a city and go to some place that was really big and exciting. Yeah. But for me, I think I was a little nervous to go to a city or go someplace that was too big or where I might get lost. So I looked mostly at very small schools. And I liked the idea of having smaller classes, of course, but also smaller friend groups. And also, I wanted to live in, again, a small town. That was what I'm used to. Bennington, Vermont is very small. And the campus is very separate. It's kind of in the woods with the dorm buildings and the, you know, all the different, campus buildings. Yeah. So it could feel a little bit more isolated, which is what I wanted. And I was also interested in writing, and acting a little bit. I did a little bit of acting in college as well. And Bennington was a great place for writers, artists, musicians. Yeah. People were really passionate about what they were doing. So I wanted to go to a place where people got excited about their writing or their art or their music or their science or any other projects that they were doing, because we could have great conversations about it.
Right. I think... So Vermont, I have been to, and I don't know about Bennington College, but my image of Vermont is that it's a state that's very creative. There are a lot of artists and creative people. It's very open. So I can imagine that your university, I mean, your college would have that same Vermont vibe. And even more so because, like you said, it's smaller, you know more people, you know your teachers and professors, and that's really cool.
It was exactly like that. So there was always an art show we could go to, or there were always music performances. There was improv comedy twice a month. There were lots of plays. Yeah. People would read their stories that they were working on. There were literature gatherings. There were always interesting lectures where different writers or artists came to the college. Yeah. And people were interested in those things, and the environment was very positive. And for me, I like talking with people who are passionate and interested in what they're doing and get really excited about it, because that makes me excited about my work too. If I go someplace and people seem maybe bored by their classes or just, I am just taking this class so I can get an A and pass and then graduate and get a job, I kind of feel a little bit low energy in those situations.
Being around people who want to learn because they really want to learn it and who want to write or make art because they really care about it gives you energy, and it makes you want to also write or create or study or learn. Yeah.
Yes, I think some places do, some colleges and universities do a very good job of creating that kind of atmosphere. Some maybe don't, but Bennington, Bennington definitely did.
What were you studying?
So I studied literature and writing, actually.
Okay.
So at the time, I wanted to be a writer, and Bennington had lots of literature classes, and they recommended, okay, if you want to be a good writer, you have to learn to read very well. And so you can understand how other writers are doing what they do.
Yeah.
So I took a lot of really good literature classes, American, British, and Irish mostly. I also took a Japanese history class, which was very fun. That was my first introduction to Japan, actually, was that history class. Yeah.
That sounds amazing. My university was also very small, so I wonder if we had a similar college experience. My school has 5,000, almost 5,000 students, not quite 5,000. But my school is a private college, and it's a Christian college. So there were a lot of Christian traditions and Christian rules that we had to join in on. So, for example, we had to go to like a church service. Twice a week.
Every week.
Isn't that crazy?
Which days? Which days did you have to go?
It was like Tuesdays and Thursdays, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So twice a week. But I quickly joined the school newspaper. I was a journalism student.
Nice.
And so I joined the school newspaper, and they are an exception. So they don't have to go to the twice weekly church services. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you join the journalism club because you didn't have to go to the,
no,
to the church no, service?
No, it was a bonus. It was a bonus.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But there were some other rules, like if you lived on campus in the dorm, you had to be in your room by midnight, by 12 o'clock.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So there were many rules.
Did a lot of people break those rules, or did they follow those rules?
That's a good question. I think that many people did follow the rules. And some people broke the rules.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know. It was really strange. Yeah.
Was the university strict when someone broke the rules?
Yes. Yeah, they would give you warnings. So they would say like, okay, you can't do it again. And if I think maybe, oh, it's so hard to remember how they, because I am a rule follower. So I follow the rules, or if I break the rules, I make sure that they can't know. So
that's the best
so
way.
So I never got in trouble, but I did break the rules sometimes. So maybe that tells you something. I don't know. But also we weren't supposed to drink alcohol. And
even for people who are over 21?
Even if you're over 21, the drinking age. Yeah. I'm really curious about your college experience, if you had any rules, and if, you know, I think a lot of foreign people in Japan might have an image of American college life that they've seen in movies of these like big parties and drinking. And I'm wondering if you experienced that at all in your small college.
That's a really good, really good point, actually. So I think I imagine your college was maybe stricter than most colleges. Yeah. My college was less strict than most college, I think.
No rules?
So Well, we had some rules, of course, but for example, so at your college, everyone had to be back at the dorm by midnight. Yeah. And at Bennington, we had no kind of rule like that at all.
Did you have check-in in the dorm?
No. So the dorms were very open. The dorms didn't lock.
Oh, wow.
So you could lock your room, but we didn't lock the dorms because it was, again, very small campus. It was separate from the town. And we didn't have a problem with strangers coming.
Really?
So if you wanted to visit your friends, you could go into their dormitory and then find their room. There was a list on every door. And then you could go to the room and then knock and then find them very easily.
Wow, that's so open. I feel like that's very rare for universities in America.
I think at a bigger college, never. I think at a bigger college, the dormitory is always locked from the outside.
For safety.
For safety. And of course, Bennington took safety very seriously also, but we were also very trusting and there was security and they could check who was coming on campus and so on. So we didn't have any problems with strangers or anything. We also, maybe this is also less strict than most college, but men and women could live in the same dormitory. So on the same floor were men and women.
Yeah.
So a lot of my neighbors were girls, and we got along very well. And it was just a very trusting kind of environment.
Yeah.
You know, it felt very natural to live with different kinds of people. So, and then I talked to my other friends where it was always the boys' dormitory over here and the girls' dormitory very separate.
Right. Did you share a bathroom with the women?
I did, yes, actually. Again, Bennington, very small college, so we had small bathrooms and maybe with just one toilet and one shower or something.
Okay. So someone could go in and lock the door or something? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Someone could go in and lock the door.
Okay.
So again, it was, we didn't really have a problem. I don't remember anyway. The biggest problem was maybe people being messy in the bathroom, but of course, maybe boys or girls can do this. So it's not
different types of messy, I think.
Yes. But I think a bigger college would have a much bigger bathroom with many showers, and I think most colleges separate the boys or always separate the boys' showers and the girls' showers for bathrooms.
The dorm where I was living had a shared bathroom. It was only women, but we had a shared bathroom with four showers and maybe like six toilets. But it was always a problem with the showers because everyone wants to shower at the same time. And
strange things
happen. Like, one day I go in the shower and I look down and there's pasta noodles in the bottom of the shower.
What?
Like, why? Why?
I see. That's very strange, I think. Maybe someone was eating lunch in the
maybe.
In the shower.
When I was in my first year of college, I had a great idea to put hot chocolate powder in my mouth and then go in the shower and get the water from the shower to make hot chocolate in my mouth.
What?
And I tried to make other people, I like knocked on people's doors like, hi, do you want hot chocolate? You should come make hot chocolate in the shower.
Oh, jeez. What?
I think.
Did people listen? Did they follow you?
Probably not.
Oh, jeez.
I think I could talk about just dorm life for many hours because there's so many interesting things that happen in the dorms. But yeah.
That's true. We had a lot of fun also. We would have dorm parties sometimes, usually pretty small, but sometimes bigger ones. And that was when we broke the rules because, you know, the rule was if you were under 21, you weren't supposed to drink. So, of course, we had to drink secretly in, you know, people's rooms or in a small area like that. And usually it was okay. Of course, usually we did it in a small group. If you had a very big group in someone's room, maybe we would be very loud and then security might come and ask about
that. Right. So was there a lot of drinking that happened at your school?
I think less than at other colleges, I think. There were parties and some bigger parties also. But I think just because there were fewer people, we didn't have any fraternities or sororities, which are groups at universities that often have lots and lots of drinking.
Yes.
Did your university have fraternities or sororities?
So we, at my college, they were called Greek clubs. I don't know what the difference is, but they were called Greek clubs, but they were the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they had big parties with drinking. Mm-hmm. And when you joined the club, you had to go through a very difficult process.
Whoa.
Yeah, so you had to like go to events to try to join, and then you have to wait for them to choose you. And if you're chosen, then they make you do all kinds of crazy tests.
Ooh, what kind of crazy tests?
I don't know everything because it's very secretive. There's a lot of mystery around the joining process, but I heard that, you know, you hear things. So I heard that they have like for women, they have a wooden paddle, like a wooden stick. And they have to take turns hitting each other, hitting their butts with the paddle as hard as they can.
What?
Yeah, and like, it's all really bad things. Like, boys' club will draw on the bodies of the women's club and say, like, this is wrong, this is ugly, like...
Whoa.
Like really crazy things, like really, really bad things. So So at my university, I was working for the school newspaper, and one year we wrote a story about how the university was making the rules more strict for those clubs so that to protect people who are trying to join. But when we made that story, there was a lot of bad feedback and people in the clubs were so angry. But the story didn't say anything about the clubs, what the clubs are doing. It just said the university is making tighter rules on these clubs. So, and the people who are in charge at the university were in those clubs when they were in the university. So it's this whole big, crazy thing. And so they never get in trouble. Who knows? Nobody knows for sure what's happening unless you join the club. So
I think that's very common. So many of these Greek clubs were around for a long time. And then many... older people who work at universities or work in businesses, they were in these clubs when they were young and they remember very well and they feel it's a very proud tradition and they maybe want to protect the clubs even when they do bad things.
Yeah.
So in other universities, the clubs had maybe some bigger problems. For example, you know, they had a big drinking party and people drank too much. Or maybe, you know, people did some bad things or some violent things. And sometimes the university said, okay, we are going to stop doing those kinds of clubs because bad things happen there. But other universities said, well, this is just a small problem and we can continue doing clubs like that.
So this is, I didn't think about this before our conversation, but this is kind of the dark, one dark part of American university life is the Greek clubs.
Yes.
So,
Yes, I agree. I think Greek clubs are a bad idea. In the Northeast US, when I'm from, many colleges and universities used to have Greek clubs but stopped having them now. But in other places, they're very, very common, and some places they're very strong and people want to protect them.
I was in a
So
very
I'm
different type of club, which was res life, residential life
Res
and
life, what is?
housing.
Ooh, okay. What kind of club is that?
We were the ones in charge of the dorms. So we were making sure everyone followed the rules in the dorm. We kept everything clean and safe. And in a lot of universities, there's a big res life culture. These people who are creating community in the dorms and on campus, and they host very different types of events without drinking, and usually they're kind of educational events. Like at my school, because it's a Christian school, we had an event called Sex and Chocolate for
What kind of event was
for the girls' dorm, because Christian girls don't talk about sex and they don't know anything about sex. So we had the event Sex and Chocolate to have an open conversation about what is sex,
Oh,
how to
wow.
have safe sex. So, yeah.
That's really good. I think that's really important to have open conversations. Many high schools in America, they don't have open
That's true.
conversations about
That's
that.
true.
But I think in universities, it's becoming more common where people can talk openly. I learned a lot about sex and safe sex when I went to college, and that was really useful for
That's
me.
good.
So I think it's very important to have those kinds of conversations.
Absolutely. My other question for you is, I know that you are only working at that university for one semester, but did you notice during your time teaching in Japan at the university level any differences between, like, big differences between Japanese university life?
I did. So of course the Kanagawa University, I was in the Minato Mirai campus in downtown Yokohama.
Oh,
So the campus was a very tall office building
what? That's crazy.
next to other very tall office buildings. So I rode the subway to work with other salarymen and businessmen, you know. And you know, I took the elevator up to the 7th and 8th and 9th floors where the English department was. And you know, we had nice views, and it was, for me, it was different just being in a university but in a city. That was very strange. But also I think the atmosphere itself was very different. I think many students came to the campus in the morning and they had many classes all day and then they went home. So at night, everything was closed, compared to American universities where there's always things to do at night, you know, to go eat or, you know, to go to a show or see music or, you know, see some art, especially at my
Or
college.
even the
So the,
library is open very late so
yes.
students can study late at night.
That's true. Yeah, I think the library is always a good place for students to go. But again, at Kanagawa University, the building became very empty after 5 o'clock. And all the students would, after the 5 o'clock class finished, all you would see lots of students just going out the door, just like they're finishing work. So for me, it seemed almost more like work than university. I think the Japanese students, they had more classes than American students do. In my when I was in college, I only spent a little time in class, but I spent a lot of time studying and doing homework and writing papers and reading. but I think Japanese students have more class
time. That's interesting. Sure. I didn't know that they would have more class time. I always hear, I don't know if this is true, but I always hear that in Japan, high school is really difficult and you have to study so hard and you have to take this test to go to the university. But after you're accepted in the university, it's easier.
I think that's definitely true. I think in my experience, American college is more difficult than Japanese college.
Yeah.
I think Japanese college is still difficult.
Yeah, college is difficult.
But college is difficult. I think the biggest difference, though, is that American high school is so much easier. So when American high school students go to college, they can feel shocked.
Oh, yes.
Like there's so much work suddenly.
Right.
And then
freedom.
They have more responsibility and more freedom. Yes, yes.
Because in high school,
it's difficult for them.
You go to the school every day. Maybe you ride the bus. It takes you from your house to the high school. You go to your classes. Maybe you do your homework. Maybe you don't. Then you take the test. But in college, there's so much freedom. You have to go to class by yourself. Mm-hmm. You're in charge. You make sure that you study and learn. It's up to you now.
Yes. Yeah, I think in my experience, Japanese students were very hardworking. They studied very hard, and they were very good about doing homework. They prepared for class very well. Mm. And I think they were very engaged with their English classes.
That's nice.
So I could feel good about that. And I liked making a positive atmosphere where students cared about English and they wanted to be excited to go to class. Just like the way I was excited to go to class when I was in college, to go and learn and talk about interesting things.
Yeah, I guess that's one of my big regrets from university that I wish I could change is with some of my classes, especially my language class, I was taking Spanish. I felt pressured to do well on a test, but I wasn't excited to learn. So
yes,
I didn't enjoy my classes and I didn't enjoy especially learning Spanish because I was so worried all the time about my test and my grade. And I wish that I could go back and be more excited to learn and to try.
I think that's really common. I think a lot of students, high school, even junior high school, and then into college, they are very worried about their grade and they are very focused on their grade. You know, I have to get an A, or I want to get at least a B, or, oh no, I got a C, so that's no good. And so they're very worried about the grade, but they're less worried about what did they really learn and what kind of work did they do, or what kind of project did they do. And I think maybe you have this experience also, but maybe you took a class where you studied and you got an A, but you didn't really understand or learn
did
anything
I learn
in the class.
Something?
Maybe you had that experience. Maybe you had that experience.
I'm a good test taker.
I'm so. Sometimes I'm okay. Sometimes okay. But then maybe you had the opposite experience, where you worked really hard in the class, you had a great time, you learned a lot, but then your grade for some reason was not so good. And so, maybe you are different than me, I don't know.
I want to experience that.
What I mean to say is sometimes the grade doesn't match the student's effort. Sometimes they're the same, but sometimes they're different. And so for me, the effort and the experience and the learning is the most important.
I think maybe this point is something in common in Japan and America for students, is that balance between getting the grade, getting the good score, or learning and enjoying learning, I guess. And on that note, it's time for the game! Let's
Yay!
see what good of score you get on this game.
Oh no, I'm really nervous now. Oh no.
This game is a game we play often on the podcast, especially with a first-time guest. It's Do You Like It Better in Japan or America?
Oh, yay! I know this
Yay!
game.
So, for this game, I will say a topic, and you have to say if it's better in Japan or America to you, and your reason why. And if I like your reason, you'll get a ping pong, and I must drink. And if I don't like your reason, you'll get a boo-boo, and then you must drink.
Okay, I'll try my
Okay.
best. I'll try my best. Not too long, not too long, it is.
Yeah, if it's too long, then it's an automatic boo-boo. Okay, the first one, do you like it better in Japan or America? Spring.
Definitely Japan.
Why?
So Japan has great cherry blossoms. And in New Hampshire, where I'm from, our spring is very short and there's sometimes snow and it's muddy and it's no good. So definitely Japan is better.
Okay, you get a
And it's warm.
ping pong. You can't fight
That was too
that. You
easy. That
can't
was too
fight that
easy.
reason.
That was too easy. That was too easy.
I love,
Yeah, Japanese spring is the best.
yeah. I love spring. So the idea of a short spring makes me so sad. Okay, the next one is
Goodness.
going out.
I definitely like going out in Japan better.
Okay.
I think it's easy to go out. You don't have to worry about driving usually. Everyone's always very excited to go out in Japan. I like going out with coworkers in Japan. Going out with coworkers in America is sometimes a little
Yeah, it's
strange.
awkward. Oh, I shouldn't
But
talk.
in Japan, oh yes. Oh yes, it's awkward in America. And then we can go out and relax and maybe talk honestly with each other and just have good food and drinks. Izakayas always have good food, and there's many places to go. So I think Japan is better for many reasons.
Ping pong. You're good at this. That's a good
Yay!
reason.
These are too easy. Ask me a hard one. Ask me a hard one. Ask me a hard
Okay. Do you like it
one.
better in Japan or America? Study and writing spaces. So the places where you can go. I know you're a writer, you also like to study, so you know those places where you can go and do that.
Also to definitely Japan.
Really?
So this is true. This is true. So I think Japan has many studying and writing spaces at many cafes. Especially I used to go to cafes or family restaurants where you can get drink bar, and for just a few hundred yen, you can hang out at the family restaurant all day, and you can have a big table to yourself just to write or study. They always have Wi-Fi. Sometimes you can plug in your computer also. And it's nice to be away from your apartment in those places. America, if you stay at the restaurant for a long time, maybe the waitress will ask you to leave. So it's usually not good for a long time.
I'll give you a ping pong, but I feel the opposite. I feel the
Ooh,
complete
okay,
opposite,
explain,
and I'm
explain. Really,
shocked.
really,
I'm
really.
really shocked by your answer because, in my experience in Japan, nowhere has outlets to plug in your computer. And nobody is studying or using their computer at a restaurant or even a coffee shop. And I feel like, oh, one time there was a coffee shop I really enjoyed and liked in Toyama, and I went with a friend and we tried to open our computers, And he said, no, no, no. No computer is allowed. Yeah.
What?
Because he doesn't want people to take up space for a long time. So my experience is the total opposite. I think in America...
I think that owner is very bad, because if someone has a notebook and some books and pencils, maybe they will also stay for a long time. Maybe they will stay longer because books don't have batteries that can run out like a computer.
Mm. Okay, last one. Do you like it better last one. In Japan or America? Alcohol.
I think America, for sure, because America, there's more variety.
Mm.
And especially recently, even very small grocery stores have lots of kinds of alcohol, especially lots of kinds of beers. Mm. And we can drink local beer very easily now and try lots of interesting kinds. In Japan, of course, there's local beer and interesting beer, but sometimes the selection is a little small. And we don't have so many choices, or we have to go to a very big store to find interesting alcohol. So for me, because I like beer and I like interesting beer, America is better.
Ping pong! Perfect score! Perfect score!
Oh, too easy! 100%.
Well, good job! You did so well.
Yay.
But did you enjoy it? That's the question.
I did. Yes. I had lots of fun.
Is there anything else you want to share before we say goodbye?
Yes. So as Emily mentioned, so I'm also a writer. So my full name is Ian M. Rogers. My first novel is being released very soon. I'm very excited. It's called MFA Thesis Novel. You can find it on Amazon or any other place you can buy books. Amazon Japan has it if you live in Japan. And if you're interested, you can follow me on Instagram, Ian M. Rogers, at Ian M. Rogers.
Yeah, and I will put all of that in the links in the description. So if you're interested, please check and take a look at those.
And my novel is about university life.
Perfect.
So maybe readers will find it.
Yeah. If you enjoy this episode, maybe you will like the book. Awesome. Well, it was so great talking to you today.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This was really, really fun. So I listened to this podcast for a long time. So I was excited to finally.
Me too. I'm glad you were finally able to join. And I hope that we can have you on the podcast again.
Yes. I would love to come
back. Okay, well, have a great night.
All right, here, take care, Emily.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you like this podcast, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at @yoparekaiwa. Special thanks to Jet Alumni Association Music City. This podcast is produced by Trout and Lime. Intro song is by D'Artagnan Melendez. Bye!